and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to Sharda Motor Industries Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Equirus Securities, I welcome you all on this conference call. From the management side, we have CEO Mr. Ashwin Relan and President and Group CFO Mr. Apurva Agrawal. Without further ado, I hand over the call to Mr. Agrawal. Over to you.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to all the participants on this call. I'm here with Mr. Ashwin Relan, our CEO, and our investor relations advisors from SGA. I hope you have had a chance to go through our results and the investors' presentation. You can find the presentation on the stock exchange and on the company's website. I would like to start by giving a brief on the corporate action. The company has bought back 1,027,777 equity shares at rupees 1,800 per share, totaling to rupees 185 crores. Following the completion of this buyback, the company's remaining cash reserve stands at rupees 778 crores as of June 30, 2024. This strategic move aimed to enhance shareholder value. It also reflects the company's strong financial health, enabling it to return a significant amount of capital to its shareholders while maintaining a healthy cash reserve for future growth. Coming to a brief overview on industry. For the quarter ended 30 June 2024, the auto industry reported decent growth, largely driven by a revival in demand for two-wheelers in rural areas, the marriage season, and the launch of new models across various segments, reflecting a positive trend for the industry. In the first quarter of fiscal year 2025, the passenger vehicle segment saw a growth of 5% in sales volume compared to the same period last year, reaching to a total of 12 lakh units. This growth was primarily driven by new model launches and positive market sentiments. Utility vehicle experienced a significant 20.10% rise, while van segment grew by 8.6%. Despite a decline of 13% in passenger car sales, the overall performance of this segment remained strong. Notably, domestic sales of passenger vehicles crossed the 1 million unit mark for the first time in the first quarter. In the commercial vehicle segment, sales grew modestly at 3.8%, reaching to a total of 2.4 lakh units. This growth was impacted by high temperatures affecting the agricultural sector and a slowdown in both public and private capital expenditure due to the elections. However, we expect that the upcoming infrastructure projects will have a positive impact on the sector in the near future. The two-wheeler segment saw significant growth, with sales increasing by 19.8%, reaching to a total of 60 lakh units. This boost was driven by favorable market conditions, including stable fuel prices and the introduction of new models. In Q1 FY25, the tractor segment saw an increase in domestic sales, fueled by supportive government initiatives and favorable agricultural conditions. The rise in the minimum support price for major kharif crops, coupled with the timely arrival of southwest monsoon, has enhanced farmer sentiment. With retail momentum picking up due to land preparation and kharif crop sowing, there is positiveness for continued demand for tractors in the coming months. I will now shift the focus to the operational and financial performance of the company. Consolidated revenues for Q1 FY25 grew by 5% compared to Q1 FY24 and amounted to Rs. 685 crores. Our gross profit margin for Q1 FY25 expanded to 26.3% from 20.90% in Q1 FY24. Our EBITDA expanded to Rs. 96 crores in Q1 FY25 from Rs. 68 crores in Q1 FY24 and registered a growth of 40% YOY. The EBITDA margin for the quarter also experienced a robust expansion from 10.4% in Q1 FY24 to 14% in Q1 FY25. For the quarter under report, our profit before tax amounted to Rs. 102 crores. Our JV registered a profit of Rs. 0.5 crores in Q1 FY25. Our profit before tax witnessed robust growth of 38% compared to Q1 FY24. In Q1 FY25, the profit after tax amounted to Rs. 77 crores, marking a notable growth of 39% compared to Q1 FY24. With this, now we can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dinesh Kulkarni from Finsight. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers, especially on the profitability front. My question is, we've been seeing the revenue growth has been very sequential in the range of, say, 4 to 5% over the last few quarters. Is this trend we see expect to see going forward to remain in this range, or can we see a boost on the revenue front? That's my first question.
Yeah, hello, good evening. Thank you for the question. This is Ashim this side. So regarding revenues, we always guide that in our company to be looking at absolute gross profit growth as an indicator of value-added sales, because our products have a nuance of catalyst, which in some cases is free of cost and in some cases we buy. Hence, the gross profit growth has been good even this quarter and in the last few quarters. And there was a good amount of outperformance that we had last year in gross profit growth, which is an indicator of our value-added sales, and that we do to our genome. So in the long term, we will continue to outperform the industry.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for that. One more question. Like, we have seen the cash balance is still quite, you know, on the very high end compared to our fixed and variable expenses, what we expect, and we keep on increasing the cash balance even after this buyback. What's the further capital allocation strategy we have apart from the cash buyback, which we have seen in the, you know, in the recent past? Do we see any M&A or one-time dividend kind of a thing? Are we expecting that?
Sure. So our first preference to utilize, let's say, the cash reserve that we have right now is, of course, for M&A, which is centered on powertrain agnostic products. However, for that, you know, there is no fixed timeline as we are conservative and want to be very careful of the deal plus valuation. We just don't want to do M&A for the heck of, you know, doing M&A. And so we will wait and look for the correct deal and correct valuation. And that's something that's always ongoing. Many talks and interactions are always happening. We initiated, of course, the buyback as phase one of returning back to shareholders. And I think that trend would continue in terms of returning back to shareholders. Intention is not to keep a cash reserve much beyond what we have already. So all the incremental cash reserve that keeps coming in would be returned back, and that can be in the form of dividends, buybacks, or anything else that comes about as we go forward.
Well, yeah, awesome. Just one more thing. See, if we are expecting any M&A to occur in the next few quarters or whenever that happens, I'm not sure if do we have any company in India or even abroad which can fall in this range of, say, 1,000 crores or something. So are we looking to add any more debt on that, or do we have additionally other resources, like any land balance, which we can think of potentially monetizing those land balance and then raising further capital for that? What's the capital strategy, if at all there is any M&A which we can foresee in the future?
Sure. So at any given point, there are multiple discussions. However, we are not planning to do something that will be significantly large, at least, unless it fits right into our strategy. So most likely, we would not require any debt at this juncture for funding any kind of M&A. And we do have additional land parcels available, which we are looking to monetize. And that, of course, is in addition to the cash reserves. So does not look like we would need to have debt at this juncture.
Okay. Probably last question from my end. What is the growth strategy going forward here on? Because we know that new models are coming up from across automobile companies. But how are we planning to increase our market share? Because which has been very constant for the last few years. So which are the new models, or what is the new strategy where we could see our market share would increase that would lead to a higher revenue base as well? And that's what I want to know. Yeah.
Sure. So for the next 5 years, our focus in growth is first onto the Trim 5 market or the tractor market. Currently, tractors, off-highway, exports, all put together contributes under 5% of our sales. With Trim 5 coming in, we are expecting a very good market share there and would become a very significant part of our sales. In addition to that, in commercial vehicles, at the 3-4 liter segment on the standalone basis, currently we have no market share. So now we have the technology and product ready. So we will be looking to increase market share substantially in that segment. After that, exports is a huge opportunity that has opened up for us. Maybe it is by far the biggest growth opportunity. And that is for multiple reasons that exports have become interesting. In export segment, we are focusing on 4 subsegments, which is one is commercial vehicle emission components. Second is the emission adjacencies of the off-highway market. Third is genset emission systems for the smaller genset, and then under 100 horsepower tractors. So this is something that we expect to grow and grow quite substantially over the next 5 years. Currently, it's a very small percentage of our sales, but would definitely increase. In addition to that, we have been focused mainly on our emissions vertical. However, we have also started deploying effort, time, as well as capital into the lightweighting vertical. Our first plant is coming up right now in Pune, which will be for additional capacity on lightweighting and suspension systems. And that will also grow substantially as a percentage of sales. Currently, it's about 8%. And in addition to all that, we spoke, of course, on the M&A potential in powertrain agnostic segments.
Okay, if you could just quantify what's our export, as a percentage of total sales, and where do you see, as you mentioned, or with current scenario which we have seen, where could we 3 years from now? In terms of sales.
Sure. So we don't give the standalone. It's a very small part, right? Exports, off-highway tractors, everything that I said put together also contributes less than 5% of our sales. And we expect that to substantially increase. No number as a guidance 3 years, 5 years from now. However, the traction on these areas is very strong, and we hope to multiply the business in these areas.
Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. To ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Karan Kokani from PGIM India AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So I just had, a few questions. So I was just looking at your numbers. So you have delivered almost a 32% kind of a YY growth in gross profits. And I'm looking at gross profits, not at revenue from operations. So this seems like a very healthy number. I just wanted to understand, what is the breakup of volumes and price within this 32% number?
Sure. Thanks for the question. So we don't give a breakup of volume and price per se. However, the outperformance is, of course, one due to incremental business additions that we have. Plus, we've also had a favorable product. And there has been maturity in our RD products, which was not the case in Q1 of last year. Q1 of last year was the SOP of all RD. So if we look back, 1st April 2023 is when RD products started. So of course, the first 3 months is not optimal, and it requires time to gain maturity. So from that perspective, even the base has helped a lot. So these are the reasons for this strong outperformance.
Okay. And so second question is that, so I'm looking at your EBITDA numbers now. For the last 4 quarters now, the EBITDA has been range bound between 95 crores to 100 crores. Do you think, from next quarter onwards, we can see some uptick in this number? Because from next quarter onwards, the base quarter itself will have 100 crores kind of an EBITDA. So you spoke about, this TREM norms and then exports and MNHCVs and all of that. Just wanted to understand, when do you expect all of this to start kicking in? And for FY25, can we see a healthy EBITDA growth YOY?
Sure. So giving guidance on one particular year or one particular quarter, I think that's something which is difficult. And now as we are seeing that geopolitical tensions, etc., are heightened, and there is a lot of volatility in the market, and we refrain from giving any quarter or even annual guidance per se. However, we would, in the long term, be outperforming overall industry growth like we have. And on a long term basis, we can expect a very good outperformance. Difficult to quantify from a quarter perspective or annual perspective.
Okay, and sir, this TREM V norms, when do you exactly expect this to start kicking in? Because there were news flows which spoke about these norms getting delayed. So any sense on the timelines?
Sure. So the timelines have been notified for 1st April 2026, and so far all the OEMs have nominated and developing the products on track for 1st April 2026.
Okay, sir. And just last question. So you said that you would continue to outperform the industry. So typically, some of the auto ancillary players, they give a multiplier to the underlying industry growth rate. So any similar number from your end, 1.5x, 2x of the industry growth?
As of now, we are not giving any particular number. However, in the longer term, we would be outperforming and would be similar to how we've outperformed the last couple of years as well. However, no specific number or guidance that we're giving.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Wine Pine Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have 3-4 questions. So question number one is just a clarification on TREM V. Rather, if you can help us understand it. So when it gets implemented, what would be the increase in the vehicle cost? Not just your part of product, but in general, aggregate increase in vehicle cost? Because there are a few more things in TREM V, right? And if you can just help us understand that first.
Sure. So there are many more things that would be there in TREM V, which is beyond our scope. and it would depend on engine strategy, OEM strategy, and other things at the OEM level. So I would not be the right person to give a guidance on the overall cost increase. That's something where the customers would know much better. But yeah, definitely there are other things apart from us also that are required on consulting.
The broader range, is it like very high, like 10-15% increase happen, or it is more like 4-5% kind of, or 5-10% kind of range, or it is double-digit increase if possible?
I would not be the right person to answer that, given it's much beyond our scope, right? It's something which requires probably the OEMs would have a better answer for that.
The second is on the domestic business, any new customer entry or addition, given that you have a very high market share, but any new customer addition in the existing customers where you are, any new customer addition entry? Because the reason I'm asking is some of our existing customers are indicating a very weak market. So their volume growth is going to be a bit weaker. It will have an impact on your side, on your revenue/gross profit number. So any addition to your customer pool or product pool, new product pool that would help you to ward off this industry slowdown?
Sure. So I think when you're saying very high market share, we refer to the PV and LCV segment only, right? Because that's the segments that we play in. However, now completely new segments have opened up for us, right? One of the segments is, of course, tractor, which we've spoken about, TREM V. In addition to that, there is the off-highway segment. And in addition to that, there is the export segment, which are totally different, and customers are also different. And apart from that, when we discuss right now, when we are referring to high market share, we are mainly talking about the mission vertical, right? So of course, in addition to that, now our lightweighting vertical will also start kicking in more than it has before. And that would, of course, all be additional, right? And as the M&A becomes interesting, that, of course, would be on top of that. In terms of specific customer additions, that's something that we may have, especially in these new segments. However, at this point, we don't guide on customer additions. But yeah, definitely, as the segments are coming in, there would be a lot of customers that would have been added as well.
But so my question was more with respect to the off-highway would take time, right? Are you saying that off-highway revenues will start kicking next 12 months itself for you? Tractor TREM V, whenever it happens, you will see the benefits. So probably Q1 of next year.
Yeah. So as and when the norms kick in, that's when we would also see the
revenues.
And maybe in the case of the off-highway segment, it depends which component and which business, because some very small norms are coming in between as well.
So the TREM V is first April?
Sorry.
Sorry. The TREM V is first April is 2026, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. On the lightweighting vertical side, if you are highlighting something, sorry.
A new plant would be coming towards Q3. So that's something also in addition.
And is it possible to indicate what kind of investments you have made or what kind of revenue potential at peak utilization that plant has whenever you achieve the peak utilization?
The investments or the investments that we will be making, I think that's already we had announced last quarter only, approximately 50 crores. Right now, in terms of peak revenue or peak guidance, that's something we're not giving as we are new to this, right? As and when it matures, then we'll start providing more inputs on that.
Okay. And so one last question on the export side. So generally, if you are a new entrant in the export market or even in domestic market for that matter, if there is a 2-4-year time lag from RFQs to conversion or start of SOP. So where are we in this process? Apart from RFQs, where are we, and how should one look at the export revenue flow-through to happen? If you can just help us understand from when it will start, because we have been putting effort since more than a year now on the export side. That's why I'm asking.
Sure. Whether 2, 3, whatever years, I think that's something where can't be translated into exports. However, in the case of exports, we have been putting it for 1.5 years, 2 years also maybe, and hence it's on the mature front, right? And we have a very good RFQ pipeline. We've added and built a very good team which is focused on exports. We do expect good customer additions, but of course, exports is also about building trust. So initial orders will be pilots and will grow over time. And as and when, there is something, that is substantial, I'll keep updating on the progress.
Just one request, if you can, in future, if you can indicate the progress, maybe customer validation or something, either in presentation or on the call, it would be helpful. It will help us to understand the progress that we are making.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vansh Modi from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Sir, my question is actually the follow-up of your export business. So, you have been guiding, yes, that you are seeing this export growing significantly. So what makes you confident that after, 3, 5 years, you are seeing this export to grow? Can you provide some light in which segments you are focusing, passenger vehicles, LCV, or tractors, or all three? Which geographies you are targeting, and what kind of OEM? Some inputs on your export vision.
Sure. Sure. Thanks so much for the question. Your voice is slightly echoing, but I feel I've got the gist of the question. So regarding exports, exports currently is, less than 2% of sales. And what makes us confident is that we are one of the only mission companies in the world who can cater to this market. There is a lot of consolidation that has happened globally, plus the force of China plus one that has played out, where lot of these markets that we'll be addressing, the business was being catered out of China or still is. In terms of sub-segments where we are focused, first on the sub-segments, we are focused on commercial vehicle emission system components only. Second is the emission system adjacencies of the off-highway market. So in construction equipment and so on, the adjacencies in itself have a very good content, and these are all exportable products. Then third is the small genset emission market, and that is also something that we cater to even today. So the exports is to the smaller genset emission system market. We want to build more customers and more products there. And then last is the smaller tractors, which are generally under 100 horsepowers. In terms of the markets, we are almost fully focused right now on the U.S. and European market, and U.S. being a larger market and followed by the Europe market.
Okay. Sir, when you are saying that you would be replacing, there are lot of demand from China plus one strategy from global OEMs. So, what kind of growth opportunity, how big that market will be for you? Some inputs on the overall size of these markets. Yes. And how big is the Chinese player entering this market, their opportunity size, which you are targeting?
Sure. So that's not one exclusively the opportunity that we are targeting. However, the market is huge. It is multiples of what we are catering to right now, and hence it won't be right to talk about the whole market. We are going to go in a step-by-step approach. So even if we get a very small percentage of the market, we would have grown substantially, right? So it's an exponentially bigger market to the Indian market for various factors. And in terms of specific Chinese companies or the business going out of China, I think it's all segmented, so very difficult to give a number, but the number is large, right? So we are just looking to at least begin at a small percentage also, which would be a substantial growth for our company.
So, sir, similar to you, are there, you know, how many OEMs similar to you are, you know, participating in this kind of opportunity?
Sorry, if you can just repeat the question, it's echoing.
Sir, similar to you, how many OEMs are participating in this opportunity where, you know, a replacement of Chinese players in the global scheme?
In our component or in general?
In your component.
And there are not too many, right? There are very few companies, maybe almost no companies in India that can cater to these segments, right? These are tech-centered segments. They require a lot of R&D. So in India, it is very few companies that would be able to, or maybe none that can cater to a lot of the markets that we are addressing. Globally, you know, we are aware of all the players.
Globally, there would be many companies, sir?
Not many. These are generally, you know, this special emission segment is something that is technology focused. So there are not many players globally also.
Okay. So, sir, how many OEMs, if you can throw some light, how many OEMs have approached you in terms of approval also for these kind of for our components?
Sure. So from a you know, let's say funnel approach or a sales funnel approach, we are in discussion with multiple OEMs, right? It's not a number, it's like multiple OEMs, and we have gotten in touch, they have gotten in touch. So almost all the OEMs who are our target customers in these segments, we are in touch with them and in various stages of discussion.
And are our products being approved already with some of the OEMs, or we are still in process with approval is pending, basically?
The funnel doesn't exactly go as approval or approval pending. However, yes, in some OEMs we are in a more mature phase, in other OEMs we are in a lesser mature phase, and yeah, but it doesn't exactly go as approval or not.
So, sir, my last question, at which year, you know, what, 2 years, 3 years, you see the influx point in your export journey will begin?
Sure. So, I think very hard to give an exact year. However, we are very confident that as part of a five-year plan, currently exports is less than 2% of sales, that that would be a much more substantial part of our sales. Exact year inflection point and so on, that's very difficult to determine. However, we're very confident that, you know, in a five-year period, that it would be a substantial part of our sales. And as and when, you know, we have material wins, we'll also keep updating in this area.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ankur Shah, Kassar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thank you. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Just one question again on the export front. Are the terms of business as lucrative as the Indian business?
Yeah, so in exports, the terms of business, I would guess, is basically EBITDA ROS, right? And what we are seeing is that the margins are much better in exports than in Indian business. However, the working capital requirement in exports is also higher than Indian business. On a net basis, if you neutralize a higher margin and higher working capital requirement, from a ROS perspective, it is similar or maybe slightly better, but they're quite similar if you look at it from a return on capital perspective.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, one more thing, like just from a investor angle that I've been tracking the company since couple of years, and we have been mentioning about the M&A part. I completely get that point that, you know, in M&A you need to be conservative, etc. But why aren't we proactively pursuing any new product opportunities with the domestic OEMs? Because, you know, like if I see the evolution in the last 3-4 years, there have been so many new products which the OEMs would have required because, you know, the content per vehicle, etc. is increasing, and considering our very strong relations with some of the OEMs, why aren't we able to organically within ourselves, which is, I think, much more in our control, why aren't we able to build some product where we have newer avenues to grow? It's just a you know, question from that angle, business.
Sure. So a couple of factors. One, on organic side, we have started building up our lightweighting vertical, which is suspension and control arms. For that, we are setting up a new plant right now, which is coming up in Pune, right? So organically, the journey has started. And when it comes to M&A, right, we will be very conservative and won't do M&A, you know, just to do an acquisition. And for that, we'll wait for the right time and the right deal. A lot of back-end work is always going on in terms of evaluation of various deals. However, we'll only do it when we are comfortable and we'll have, you know, strict thresholds on what we see from a capital allocation perspective. Organically, I think the lightweighting vertical is something that we will continue to build over the years.
No, absolutely agreed on the M&A, like, absolutely. And on the lightweighting vertical, sir, at 200 crore sales, we have mentioned that we have 10% market share. That indicates the market share, right? In the suspension arm space, the 10% which is written, in the presentation. So you mean to say that the whole market is around 2,000 crores and here we are catering around 10% market share? Is that the right way to see it?
Yeah. So two things, that what we've referred to is more on the control arm and assembly side. Lightweighting is much bigger than that as a theme. We are, of course, catering to a very small part of that theme. And there are various other nuances in terms of content that comes into it. But that would be the right indicative way of looking at it. At the same time, the lightweighting opportunity from a content perspective is very large, right? Our current play is limited to control arms and axle assemblies. And that's something that, of course, on the perspective of adding new customers there, is where a lot of work is going on. And a lot of R&D work is going on adding content as well on the lightweighting side.
Okay. Thanks, sir. I really appreciate your focus. Congrats. All the best.
Thank you. Sir.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Karthik AM from Suryash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Just one thing, can you elaborate a bit on the work done on the DGSET side? As in, I assume the approval cycle could be faster over there. So can you talk a bit more in terms of components that you would be supplying and so on?
On the genset market?
Yes.
Yeah, so genset market, one in India already has some legislation which is coming, and this is very small in India, so it's only, you know, less than 1% of sales, so we anyways have good market share there. However, in the case of exports, there are a couple of things that are happening. One, our current exports also is basically to the genset market only. So we already have a product available, we already have a very good track record in that market. And that's something that we are looking to build upon to, of course, add new customers when it comes to the genset market. And genset market is going through a boom right now in the US. Mm. It is something that is growing very, very fast. It's something we didn't expect also, that genset should become so prominent in the US, but that's backed by the data center boom. So yeah, that's something that we should be adding some customers in, because we already do that business as expected.
And the ones you supply to would be the more leading players or the smaller players on a global scale for your exports, I'm saying?
Yeah. So we supply to probably the leading player, or if not the, then the second, right? There's close competition, I think, between two companies globally. So we do already supply to a very large company.
Okay. Okay. That could either be Cummins or one of the other players.
We don't comment on any customer names. Yeah. But we do supply genset emission systems even in India now.
Right. The second thing would be this. Congrats on onboarding several institutional investors. Just curious to know if you had any interactions with them and what was the broad expectation that they outlined. It was interesting to see a chunk of good quality investors in the roster, so.
Sure. So I think the goal was always to add the institutional investors. And when we were interacting and strategizing, I think there was only a request to provide liquidity or improve liquidity. And that's something that we had done as part of the block deal. And always, the goal is to improve institutional ownership into the company, as that is very good for all shareholders in the block.
Yes. If I may request you to be slightly more explicit, one question: at what stage do you think you would be able to, say, achieve a 15%+ kind of revenue run rate, at least for a period of time? The reason I ask you this is we all follow the numbers and so on, but just trying to understand where you would be able to achieve consistent growth based on all the drivers that you have talked about. It is exciting, but we are unable to fix any kind of timeline. So can you share some thoughts on that?
Sure. So a particular number that you're mentioning, no number guidance. However.
No. Yeah.
However, over the next 5 years, we are looking at performance as part of our strategy. Any particular year or quarter, that's something that would not like to share given all the market dynamics. However, our new strategy, 5 years, we are confident to outperform the industry.
Fair enough. Congratulations and very best wishes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush from Acquaintance B. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted to clarify, so the impact of R&D is completely priced in, and any incremental emission norms, everything is priced in right now until the TEM 5 kicks in, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It's by priced in, you mean that do we have the technology? Yes, we do have the technology, and TEM 5 is anyways product maturity is very high there.
What I mean really is it's already in your base. So any incremental growth will be only from the volumes of the industry, right, for you? In at least till the period TEM 5 kicks in.
I'm not able to understand the question. If you can just repeat the question, please.
Yeah. So for the next until TEM 5 kicks in, the growth that we would see in, say, gross profit would correspond directly to the industry volumes, which is LCV plus PV mix, right, rather than any incremental value add due to emission norms change.
Yeah. So some smaller emission norms are changing. Our lightweighting vertical is kicking up, and as well as we are working on the export front, as well as we are working on the commercial vehicle market share increase front. So all those things are ongoing. So it's very difficult to say when they would mature. And TEM 5, there's nothing in the base per se because tractors is a very small part of revenues, and that is going to be a totally new addressable market that we'll be catering to.
Correct. And no significant value add also from CEV-5? Will that also be a very, very small proportion of the entire turnover?
The CEV that's coming in January 2025?
Yes.
So we have business there, especially on the adjacency front. We have a good business there. However, the CEV market compared to the tractor market and export market is a smaller market.
Okay. Sir, can you elaborate more on the 3-4-liter in which you are aggressively targeting? How big is that market, 3-4-liter engine? And what specifically are you eyeing for there?
Yeah, so as of now, we have no market share there. We, in fact, did not have the technology to cater to that segment a few years ago. Over time, we've developed the technology, we've developed the product, and that's something that we are now looking as a standalone company to cater to. And this market is, you know, catered largely right now with, by just one of our competitors. So definitely the opportunity is there. However, as it takes some time on emission products, it will be something that we have to wait and intend to, though our product is already ready. In terms of opportunity size, that's something that we are not right now guiding on this subsegment.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manpreet Arora from Arora Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Thank you. So, Ashwin, a couple of questions. One, you know, if you look at, you know, the investor presentations, let's say a year back, we had, and also the calls, investor calls, you know, we were talking about our joint venture with Kinetic on the EV side and battery packs and, you know, AIA certifications. And, but, you know, the last couple of calls and investor presentations, we don't really talk about our JV with Kinetic. So just wanted to know, you know, is the management bandwidth invested there? Are we still moving ahead, you know, with battery packs, and are we still bullish on that segment? Or, you know, any you know, outlook you can give there will be
cool. Sure. So regarding the two-wheeler EV market, I think that in itself has evolved a lot over the last maybe 1 or 2 years. And many things have happened regarding battery packs and then, of course, the market in itself. So one, the AIS amendment 3, the compliances have come in, plus two-wheeler EV subsidies have been reduced. And there is a lot of competition that has come in from China, from many, many, many small players. Right? So battery packs as a segment is not as attractive as it was 1 or 2 years ago. However, we do remain to be invested in this, but we are also waiting and watching because we will not deploy any significant amount of capital till we are not sure of the overall attractiveness of the business, which has shifted over the last 1-2 years, given various things that have happened. I think that's all there in the two-wheeler EV side, as well as batteries that have come about. And lots of players have entered this battery pack. So we'll be cautious. We're still there and still, you know, prototypes are available. And, you know, the new ones now are, you know, awaiting testing and so on. But given the fast-changing dynamics and as well as a very high field quality risk of the product, we are being very cautious and hence not projecting any timeline on revenues and so on, and not baking it into our plan.
Okay. So will that depend on Kinetic strategy and how they want to penetrate that market? Or
It would just depend on the overall attractiveness of the segment and the business plan, and not particularly just the JV partner. Of course, there is captive numbers over there. However, also the overall attractiveness of the segment, the product, and the industry.
So basically, over the last 2 years, the attractiveness of this industry has diminished because of the competition and other norms have come in. Is that the right way to understand?
Yeah, and the dynamics are also very, very fast changing, and we have observed very high field quality. So we are going to be very cautious, and that's why we've been cautious since the start on deploying capital. We don't want to deploy capital into areas which are too risky, or as well as, you know, don't have attractive projected returns in the business plan. So as things evolve, things could change, things could even become better, but we'll watch out before we deploy anything and then guide anything as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate that. So my other question is on the light weighting vertical question. And if you can, you know, help us understand this a bit more. So my understanding is that, you know, so EVs, because they are heavy, inherently, so the light weighting trend has happened there, but also on the ICE engines, you know, because of fuel efficiency, cabin norms, etc., we're looking at light weighting becoming a trend there as well. And, you know, you mentioned that we are now setting up a new plant and we have been nominated as a for a new platform on the side. And so our light weighting products will primarily be on the arm control assembly and the suspension arm to start with, and will that move to other products, or these are the areas for now that we'll be targeting at, on the light weighting side?
Sure. So I think the way you narrated the, let's say, mega trend of lightweighting, I think that's very accurate, that there is a mega trend going on, not just for EVs, but ICE, hybrid. Everything requires the overall car to be lighter as well as stronger, right? Because there are also safety norms and so on that come into play. So there are various ways of doing lightweighting, and there are almost, you can say, the content is huge when it comes to lightweighting. However, we are taking it one step at a time, and for the current month, we are only focused on the products which you mentioned, which are control arms, and we will first stabilize that. Parallelly, we are doing R&D work on what, how we can increase content in this area. Nothing is mature enough to update as part of this call. However, yeah, for the time being, the plant is coming in for control arms.
Okay. So on the control arms, let's say the lightweighting product for the control arms, will that be a better margin profile from the existing product that we do?
Sorry, if you can just repeat the question, please.
Will that be a better margin profile than the new control arms with, which are meant for lightweighting vertical?
Sorry, new control arms, if you can just repeat your question.
I mean, it's a new product, right, which will have a better weight metric than the current product that we do on control arms. Is that the right way to understand?
We have been nominated for a new platform. The plant is coming up for a complete new platform for one of our customers. So it's a new product all in, right? It's not something that we are replacing. This is a new product all in. In terms of margins and so on, it's too early right now to comment. We are also new to do it in a full focused way. However, all our capital allocation decisions are taken with ROS in mind, right? So this project is looking good from the ROS perspective. In terms of individual margins and product margins, that's something which I will not comment for the time.
And the amount of capital that we are spending is 50 crores on this new plant? And would you be able to share, like, at peak utilization, what kind of asset turns we can assume from this plant? And is incremental capacity similar to our emission systems where it requires little investment, or it has a different profile?
Sure. At this point, probably it's not in a mature phase to guide on asset turnover or incremental capacity. The capacity that we are coming with is a good amount right now, and that's something as the product and vertical matures, maybe better to guide at that point.
Sure.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Puru Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you. We appreciate your participation in our earnings call today. We trust that we have addressed all your queries. Should you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations advisors, strategic growth advisors. Thank you and have a lovely evening.
On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.